Is that right, Skylar? Okay. That's their daughter. And the Felton family has come because their daughter started coming first through our youth pastor. So let's give Pastor Jonathan a good hand on bringing people in. Amen. And every now and then at Best Buy, I run into some people that used to come to Westmoreland. Oh, Brother Ricky, we used to come to Westmoreland. And I take that advantage to say, why don't you come on back? Amen. Well, I don't know. Well, why don't you know? Well, this, that, and the other. Well, let me tell you something. God is the God of today and forever. Let the past be in the past. God's doing something new at Westmoreland. It's not to discredit anything in the past. Now is the time to worship. Amen. Now, and God is wanting to even bring some people back. Amen. He said he would restore. And just open your heart to God and say, God, where do you want? Because let me tell you something. Friend, we need a church like Westmoreland to be a powerhouse in this city. Other churches are doing great things, but they're missing a thing called the power and the Pentecostal witness. And we must have that in Wilson. Why not let it be us? God's put us on this property. God's raised up this church many years ago. We've got a strong foundation. We've got a future ahead of us. God is on the throne. I'm excited. I hope you're excited to be a part of Westmoreland Church. If you are, give the Lord give God a Westmoreland clap. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Tonight I want to preach to you. The pastor preached this morning on the subject, failure is not final. And tonight I want to follow up with the message entitled tonight, that problems are not permanent. Failures are not final. Say that with me. Failures are not final. Now say, problems are not permanent. The human spirit is never finished when it is defeated. It is finished when it surrenders. And tonight I want to ask you, does anybody have problems? Do you have problems at work? Raise your hand. Do you have problems at home? Then maybe not raise your hand. How many of you are sitting next to a problem? No, don't do that right now. You see, there's a right way and a wrong way to handle problems. Mildred, the church gossip, and the self-appointed holy one of the congregation who kept everybody to toe in the line. She kept, several members knew what she was doing, but they were too afraid to confront her. And she was, you know, just gossiping and all of that. But a new member joined the church. His name was George. And she got to talking about George. She said she accused George of being an alcoholic right to his face. And, well, why do you say I'm an alcoholic? She said, because I saw your pickup parked in front of the town's one and only bar the other afternoon on Main Street. And she told George, and she told several others what she saw. Well, George didn't say anything. He didn't defend himself. He didn't say a word. He just quietly went away. Later that evening, George parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house and walked home. Would you stand with me tonight? There's a right way to handle problems, and there's a wrong way to handle problems. Say it with me, failures is not final, and problems are not permanent. Turn with me tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Do problems have a purpose? Is there meaning to the accidents? Is there meaning through the heartache? Is there meaning through the bankruptcy? Is there meaning through the sickness or even death itself? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 12 through 14. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And if you're not, just see if your neighbor's got it. Make sure everybody's got it. If you got it, say amen. Amen. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And I want to tell you, for Westmoreland, this is the year of the open door. I just felt that in my spirit. This is the year of the open door. We're going to see doors open. There's going to be some of your lost loved ones that have slammed that door in your face. I think I'll preach this next Sunday. That have slammed that door in your face. And you're going to be amazed that God's going to open that door. Hallelujah. We're going to see our door. Amen. God's opening doors. Pastor, you're going to see doors open for your ministry. This is the year. I feel that in my spirit. God just gave it to me. The year of the open door. Amen. But a door was open unto me of the Lord. But I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Father, tonight anoint your servant as I preach the word of God. We thank you for the open door before us this year. We thank you that you're up to something mighty at Westmoreland Church. We thank you, Lord, that we're expanding and growing and new people and new souls. And God, even bringing some back to the fold. God, we just believe, Lord, that you're going to do mighty things. Now, Lord, whatever problems we face, Lord, I pray tonight that you would bring comfort and anointing upon thy servant as I preach. May I decrease. Lord, may you increase. May the word of the Lord have free course, and we'll give you praise tonight. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty and you may be seated. Amen. In our text tonight, the great Apostle Paul talks about an open door. He talks about not only an open door, but he also talks about problems. The truth of the matter is that problems are going to be always going to be a part of life. If you have children, going to be problems. If you have Royal Rangers, you're going to have problems. If you have a youth church, there's going to be problems. If you have a seniors, there's going to be problems. You see, there are going to be problems at home, problems in our bodies, problems in the church, problems in our marriages, problems on our job. And the ultimate mystery of life is, why are there problems at all? But I want to turn that question from why are there problems? I just want to turn that question on its head tonight and ask this question. Is there any good from those problems? Or really, what good are problems? You see, Romans 8:28 is always there. It is always there. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Please understand, Romans 8:28 is always there. And when I have a tough day on the job, or when I have a tough circumstance I'm thinking, I have found myself, Pastor, reminding, is Romans 8:28 still there in the book? And if I need to, I pull out my phone or pull out my copy of the New Testament. I flip through those sacred pages. I take my finger down, Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, down to verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and lo and behold, boom, it's still there. Friend, I want you to know, if you go through a bankruptcy, turn your pages to Romans 8:28, it's still there. If you go through a moral failure like David or others who have sinned and failed the Lord, and please understand that God can even take those moral failures, those personal mistakes. God doesn't cause them, but He can cause it to all things. It means our mistakes. Listen, if that spouse walked out on you, flip over to Romans chapter 8, and I want you to know it's still there. I want you to know when your loved one is put in the ground underneath the sod and you're crying tears, go home and pull out the old black book and flip it over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, because some glad morning we're going to see them. And even in death, I said all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. If your heart is for God and you've repented of your sins and you've learned from your mistakes and you've put away the past, I want you to know God can turn it around, and God can cause your problems are not permanent. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. I said He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He will show up and show off. Even in problems, He will walk in when others walk out. He will bring you from the valley to the mountaintop. He will bring good out of all life's problems. I'll tell you that God is at work even in the darkest days, even when you feel like that you have messed up, that people have hurt you, forsaken you, and problems you face at high school, problems you face in the nursing home, God is there, and your problems are not permanent, but Romans 28 is, and the Lord is. I wish you'd praise Him tonight, because your God is up to something in your life. So often when trouble comes into our lives, the first thing we ask is, how can I get out of this? But the real question we ought to ask is, what can I get out of this? I want to give you five good things about problems, or five ways that God uses problems in your life. What good are problems? First of all, problems. God uses problems to direct you. To direct you. In our text tonight, Paul had an open door. He went through that open door. And you'd have thought everything would have been wonderful and great and glorious. But there were some issues and some problems even there. And so if you'll go back to Acts chapter 16, you'll begin to realize that God was using those problems. Because even though that was an open door for that moment, even though that is where Paul was to go to, but it was also God's intention for him to go through, because there was a greater open door called Macedonia. Paul was wanting to do one thing, and God did bless, and God did move. But problems came up and directed him to a greater field of service. I want you to know that when there are problems, sometimes it's not for you to relocate. Sometimes it's for you to regather and pray and say, God, what is the next move? What is the situation? Maybe I was headed kind of in the wrong direction. I'm not talking about leaving a church. I'm not talking about leaving a country. I'm not talking about leaving anything. I'm just telling you, sometimes in our own spirit, God uses problems to redirect our thinking, to redirect our approach, to say, look, it didn't work this way. Let's try it this way. I mean, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again, double up the efforts, and getting the same results. But friend, God wants to bring great results in our lives. He wants to bring great blessing in our lives. Sometimes we stay too long. Sometimes we get comfortable in a way. Sometimes we lose our edge. Sometimes we can get, I don't want to say it in the bad way, but sometimes we can kind of get lazy. We can do it, and yet there's no effectiveness there. But God uses problems to propel us into new opportunities, into new destiny, into new potential. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 30, I'm going to read it from the New Living Version. It's a little different than King James, but it says this, beatings that hurt clean away sin, and problems make the inside parts clean. And let me read it like this. Problems that hurt clean away sin, and problems makes the inward parts clean. And sometimes it's a problem. Sometimes it's a painful situation that causes us to change our ways. God uses disappointments. God uses setbacks. God uses unexpected events. God uses unpleasant circumstances to, in a roundabout way, to direct our lives. I'm going to repeat that, because I believe somebody's had some disappointments. Have you? Some of you have had some setbacks. Have you? Some of you have had some unexpected events. Have you? Some of you have had some unpleasant experiences. Have you? Well, listen, in a roundabout way, God uses those to direct or redirect our lives. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Problems are taking us right to our potential. God uses those problems sometimes to take us and put us right where He wants us. And if we didn't have some problems, we'd never be where God wants us. We'd never do what God has called us to do. I wish somebody helped me preach tonight. I want you to know problems are good. Hello. Oh, Pastor, I don't quite grasp the concept here tonight. His name is Joseph. He had a dream. And God had His hand on his life. But We know the story. He was hated. I mean, that's a problem. Your own brothers. And I'll tell you what, sometimes family can just do you flat wrong. I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about my family. In fact, we're all part of the Adam's family, Adam and Eve. Who's doing the See, example. Please understand that his brothers hated him. That's a problem. Then his brothers threw him in a pit. That's a problem. And then they were going to kill him. But then they pulled him out of the pit and they sold him into slavery. How many of you know being sold into slavery is not what he had intended at that moment? That's a problem. Please understand that he was sold to Potiphar's wife and things were looking better. Not Potiphar's wife, but Potiphar. And things were looking better until Potiphar's wife came around and she became a And so he kept his integrity and she lied on him. How many of you know when you get lied? Have you ever been lied on? I mean, just outright, downright lied on. Somebody at work, somebody at family, somebody, oh, God forbid, even tares in the church can do that stuff. Please understand, Joseph was lied on. And how many of you know that's a... And then Joseph was thrown into a prison and that's a... Oh, but my friend, let me tell you, problems, God, say that with me. God uses problems to direct you. Please understand that when Joseph was put in that prison, they threw in the butler and the baker. That's a problem for them. And he interpreted their dreams. Oh, good gracious. There's a lot of sermons to preach there. I mean, he's in a prison. He could be so depressed. He could be questioning God. He could be suicidal. He's like, nothing's going right. I'm down here with rats and bats and hard people. And no, he didn't do that. He looked at the butler and the baker and he's like, guys, why do you look so sad today? Now I'm going to tell you something. When you're looking at a butler and baker and you're talking about them being thrown in prison, I'm just been thrown in prison and you're asking me, why am I sad today? I mean, come on, Joseph. Amen. I've been thrown into prison. But, you know, Joseph knew something, that God was up to something, and that God can use problems to redirect our lives. And it wasn't long before the butler and the baker, long story short, Joseph got a call and said, come see Pharaoh. And God took every problem and all things worked together for good to Joseph, who loves God. And one day he was in the prison. The next day he was in the palace. Never got there if they hadn't thrown him in the pit. Friend, don't let those problems stop you. Don't let people, what they say, hurt you. Just let it go in one ear out the other and say, Lord, what are you directing me to do? Where are you sending me? It must be good because I'm going through some problems. Would you give him another hand of praise here tonight? In the old days, there was a conductor who got on a train and he began to take tickets. He told the first passenger whose ticket he took, he said, sir, you're on the wrong train. When he looked at the next ticket, he told the passenger, you're on the wrong train. But the passenger said, I was told to get on this train. And the passenger, he said, no, sir, you're on the wrong train. And he protested. And come to find out, it wasn't the passengers who was on the wrong train. It was the conductor on the wrong train, taking the tickets on the wrong train. And sometimes we find ourselves on the wrong train. If you're in a train of depression, you're on the wrong train. If you're on the train of suicide, you're on the wrong train. If you're on the train of gossip, you're on the wrong train. If you're on the train of adultery, you're on the wrong train. If you're on the train of fear, you're on the wrong train. Let God check you off tonight and get on the glory hallelujah train. And let's keep marching and let's keep going forward because God is going to turn those things around. Somebody say amen tonight. So what good are problems? Number one, God uses problems to direct you. Number two, God uses problems to inspect you. You know, people are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside of them, just drop them into hot water. This is when your motives is tested. It's easy to testify. It's easy to shout. But can you back it up with your life? And how will we really know if we're like Christ until we, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. Really? Will you go across the street and ask your neighbor to come to church? Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Can you help us clean the leaves up out here in the woods? Come on now. Lord, there's nothing I won't do for you. Would you forgive that person who hurt your feelings? But you don't know what they did. Come on now. Problems inspect us. Problems don't reveal things about Joseph's brothers. They revealed a lot about Joseph himself. Amen. How will you know if you have enduring faith if you haven't endured? Somebody said, for every testimony, there is a test and there's a moaning. And if you haven't had a test without your testimony, then all you've got is a moaning. I know that's real deep out there in theology. Remember Job? God used his problems to inspect him. God said, have you seen my servant Job? Well, if long as you're blessing him and as long as the good times are going, you take his stuff and touch his family and he'll curse God. He'll curse you to your face. Did you know that God already knew that Job would never do that? But what God did was for you and I. What God did was allow Job to go through a few problems. Come on, y'all wake up tonight. Tell somebody. Problems. Is this sermon beginning to be a problem? Listen, Job was inspected. And the skin worms ate deep. And the boils on his body. And his poor, his terrible, his 10 children gone in a terrible storm. And people, listen, you can when tragedy like that happens, when you have a 32-year-old to get killed in a motorcycle accident, and or when you have a baby that dies of crib death, or when there's a terrible thing that happens in our lives, maybe a child that gets in a car wreck. You know, some of these things do happen. And there's two ways we can respond to that. One way is to run from God. God, why did you do that? Why did you allow that? But the other response is to run to God and say, God, I don't understand why, and I'm hurting so bad. And I promise you the thing that will hurt the most is you running from God. Because there's no answers there. But one day, if you run to God, he'll pull back the curtain. And he'll explain it better by and by. And Job, let me tell you, he had a lot of problems. But listen, Job said this. It doesn't matter if my children are gone because I know where they're at. It doesn't matter if my body is full of boils because I know one day I'm going to die. And he went through some tough times and he vented. Nothing wrong with venting. Listen. Nothing wrong with counseling. And if you're going through a problem, sit down with a pastor or sit down with a mature Christian, not an immature Christian, but a mature Christian, and talk these things out. And there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Jesus asked that question. But please understand, when it's all said and done, Job said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I know that at the end, I'm going to stand and he will bless me going in and bless me going out. And the Bible says that God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Somebody give him praise, because problems are good. They direct us. They inspect us. Number three, problems. God uses problems to correct us. To correct us. To correct us. There's some lessons we can only learn through pain and through failure. It's likely that, well, let me use me for an example. My mom and daddy told me, do not put your hands on the hot stove. They told me that 100 times. And so I got up one night and I was bored. They were in there watching TV. And I just was looking through the cabinets. And my mother had cut on the stove to get ready to boil some water. I didn't know the stove was on. She didn't know I was on top of the counter next to the stove. And I remember putting my foot down. And the neighbor next door heard me scream. But my mother had told me not to mess with that stove. There's just some things we can tell you and we can tell you, but sometimes when you go through the problem, that's where the correction comes. Amen, somebody. Come on, we can tell you and tell you and tell you, but sometimes there's some things you'll never learn until you're burned. Sometimes we only learn the value of something by losing it. And I'm going to make some very controversial statements here. So, Pastor Jerry, you hold your hand up if I get too controversial. But I'm going to say something. Sometimes the best thing in the world to happen to you is for you to break up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That is the best thing. If that boyfriend or girlfriend does not go to church, love God, if that boyfriend or girlfriend is not seeking the Lord, and if they're all about doing things that are not, I don't care what they say, and I know you love them. There's a young little girl at Best Buy. She's probably about 20 years old, 19, 20. And she said she wanted to talk to me. And so we talked there on the sales floor and just took a few minutes. And she's had a boyfriend that just wasn't good to her. And she's like, I need to break up with him. And he keeps telling me he's going to do better. And finally, they have put him in jail. And she says, what do you think I should do? Now, I knew the quick answer. But I thought, you know what? Let's go around the train a little bit on this. Well, and so we talked, and I asked her a few questions, and I asked her this, and I asked her that. Praise God, she broke up with him. And I asked her, and this was about a month or two ago. By the way, she may be at church next Sunday. She's praying about looking at church, and she goes to church down here, not far from here, and she's hungry for some deeper things for the Lord. And so she actually may be coming to church. We're going to try to get her in, amen? But anyway, yeah, I'm winning souls at Best Buy, amen? The tele-evangelist, hallelujah. But the last night I said, I hadn't had a chance to get, I said, so how are you doing? She said, I'm doing great. And she said, you'll never believe it. I said, what's that? She said, when my boyfriend went to jail, He turned his life around. He's back playing drums at the church. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes going to jail is the best thing for somebody. Hello. I've always said that. Now, this is me. I don't have children, so I'm going to just tell you what I think I'm going to do if I have children. But I've always said in my mind, if I have a son or a daughter and they get in trouble with the law and they get locked up, I'm going to bail them out. I'm going to get them out, you know. But if they get in there the second time, I'm going to let them spend the night. And what my prayers can't do, some big guy with muscles and rings coming out here, he might get through to them. Amen? Listen, you'll never get Jonah right as long as you keep him on the boat. Sometimes you got to throw Jonah off that boat. Things ain't going to never be right in your home as long as you keep letting that trouble keep on staying there. And I know you love Jonah, and I know Jonah's your son or your brother or your nephew, and I know your heart. But throw him into the water, because what you can't do, God can do, and that well can do. And before you know it, he's preaching, and he's working for God. I tell you, God uses problems to correct us. Amen. Sometimes we bail people out too quick. Amen. That's spoken from somebody who's never had a child, so you know, just factor that in. Amen. I might bail them out the second time. Okay. But the third time. Amen. God uses problems to direct you. Say amen. He uses problems to inspect you. He uses problems to correct you. And then number four, God uses problems to protect you. Do you remember that story in the Bible when Balaam got on a donkey and was going to go curse God's people? Some of you may not know this story, but the Bible says that the donkey stopped in its tracks. And Balaam was kicking that donkey. Get on out here. Move. And that donkey won't move. So Balaam had a problem. He's trying to get over here. Now, he's up to something diabolical. He's up to something bad. He's up to something he shouldn't be doing. But that donkey's not going anywhere. Well, would you believe it? This is one of these great Bible stories that God actually let the donkey talk like a human. Now, I do believe in a millennial reign that animals will talk. I do. If you've ever seen the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and they have the talking animals. Now, I don't have Bible for all. I don't have Bible for all of this, other than when Eve was in the garden, the serpent talked, and the donkey talked. So I don't know what your cat would say, or your dog would say about you. Now, please don't leave here saying I'm preaching some wild doctrines. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. We're not going to argue about that. Amen. I don't want to create a problem here tonight. Amen. But the donkey talked and said, Balaam, why are you kicking me? I've been a faithful donkey for you. I've carried you places. And do you think I'm just going to stop? In fact, you fed me. I'm wanting to go myself. But Balaam, don't you see right in front of your eyes this big angel with the sword's about to cut your head off? And Pastor, did God open Balaam's eyes or not? I don't know. But the point I'm trying to say is this. The donkey saw a danger. And Balaam had a problem. And sometimes problems that you encounter will actually keep you from greater problems down the road. Oh, I wish somebody would say amen here tonight. You're sitting there just stomping your foot. You're trying to make something happen. And I've tried to get this mortgage. I've tried to buy this house. I've tried to get this job. I've tried to marry this woman and she keeps rejecting me. Or I've tried this. And maybe the reason there's a problem is because there's something greater down the road and you ought to just let it go. Amen. Excuse me, I want to amen myself. That was a good one. Amen, Pastor Ricky. Hallelujah. Because I know what it's like. I know in times when I'll tell you that I tried to accomplish a certain thing or do something, and it's like, no, you better not, you better not, you better not. Came up with this problem, and I look back and said, thank you, Jesus, because if I'd have done it, I'd have made a big mistake. Listen, God's there for your good. He said He works all things for your good. When He shuts the door, don't worry about it. God's got something else down the road. Can you give Him praise here tonight? I had a lady one time tell me, very godly lady, she said, Pastor, I had a weak moment and I was in my car on my way to meet another man. And she said, she was married and the other man was married. She said, it started with just little flirtatious comments in the church. God bless you, sister. How are you doing? But then it'd go further. And she said, I was on my way over and the car broke down. And she said, I got my car fixed and I went back home and never looked back. Oh, thank God. Thank God for His protection. Thank God for His deliverance. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but He shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And I'm coming to a close tonight. God's problems are there to direct you, say amen. Amen. There to inspect you, say amen. Amen. There to correct you, say amen. Amen. There to protect you, say amen. And finally, God uses problems to perfect you. Look at Psalm 138 and 8. And this is a scripture for you for 2017. Psalm 138 and 8 says, the Lord will perfect that. If you can pull that up, Brother David, thank you. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Are you having problems in your marriage? The Lord will perfect that which concerns your marriage. Are you having problems in your home? If you'll give it to God and be wise, He'll perfect that which concerns you. Are you having problems in your finances or in your job? You see, God wants to perfect that which concerns you. Problems, when responded to correctly, are character builders. God is far more interested in your character than your comfort. Your relationship to God and your character are the only two things you take with you into eternity. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Let me repeat that. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He's given the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts. Oh, dear child of God, tonight, I was Facebook messaging one of our dear members of this church who's been going through some valleys. And I just wish God would just take the pain. I just wish God sometimes would. I wish things would turn out like we hope. Sometimes, I'm telling you, Darnell, I remember her coming home from work one day. It hurt so bad. And for some reason, her and the principal just couldn't get. The principal was very tough. And Darnell came home one day and said, I don't have a job anymore. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we don't understand those things. Amen. Well, why wouldn't God have worked it out? I don't know why He didn't work it out. But I know this. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 8. And verse 28, Sister Darnell, all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so awesome. I just love Him tonight. And I thank You for the problems. If I never had a problem, I never know that God could solve them, brother. God's going to perfect that which concerns you. And the devil's a liar. And he's telling you things like God's delivered you out of this, He's delivered you out of that, and He can't even give you a little old job. The devil's a liar. Because the job He's going to give you is going to be right in the center of His will. And I'm telling you, it may be the last day, but it may be a day late, but you're going to have every light bill paid. And that house payment's going to be paid. Amen, somebody. Because my God is a problem solver. Amen. And all of those problems, when that day that we stand before Him, and that's, listen, folks, we've got a work to do on this earth. And I understand that. But there, sometimes I begin to think there is coming a reward. Hold fast your profession. Keep your hand in the nail-scarred hand. There's coming a day, brother and sister, when we will leave the surly bonds of earth and we will touch the face of God. And there will be none that will hurt or offend in my holy mountain, where the wicked shall cease their troubling and the weary shall be at rest. Oh, praise God for that glorious day when all of the problems of life will turn around and it will lay upon our head a golden diadem. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You went through the fire and you came through the flood and you went through the hurt and you never lost your praise and you never lost your faith. You said, God, though You slay me, yet will I trust You and enter in to the joy of the Lord. Hang on, child of God. It's worth every pain. It's worth every sleepless night. It's worth every trial. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Would you stand with me? Oh, through it all. Sing it with me tonight. Through it all, I've learned. Have you? I said it's through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. I want you to join me at the altar tonight, because there's not a person here tonight that doesn't have some problems. And I want to say this by the word of the Lord tonight as you're coming. There's some of you holding on to your problems. You're holding on to the hurt. You're holding on to the... You say, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what Ricky and Nims have been through. And when I left Smyrna Church, those things kept going through my mind. What if this? Why did that happen? God. And I just began to realize it was a trick of the devil. And I had to cast down imaginations. And I just... It's still a process. Did you know healing is a process? Pastor, I believe in instant healing. Amen. But I also believe in sometimes progressive healing. I believe healing is a process. I believe hope. I believe forgiveness is a process. But I want you now just to lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, I'm not going to hang on to those problems. I'm not going to hang on to them. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Your problems are not permanent. Through it all, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've had many tears of sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation, that through my trials He come only to make me strong. Until I haven't practiced. Oh, sing it with me. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. Have you? I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. If I've never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Can you lift your hands and sing through it all? Through it all. Through it all. Everything. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I said through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Sing that again. Through it all. Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Take somebody by the hand, right?